Hello, Saints. Good to be back with you again. We got a bright, sunshiny, cool day today. Let's go to the Lord. Father, in the name of Jesus, I just thank you for the testimonies of these people on rejection and unforgiveness and all the things that are associated with rejection and fear of rejection. Father, I thank you and I praise you, Lord, that this testimonies today will go forth and be a blessing to everybody, Lord, that it will help them understand what that spirit of rejection is and that spirit of fear of rejection is and how it's dealt with. And Lord, I thank you that many people are going to be set free because of it. I ask your anointing upon everybody involved in the name of Jesus, that this would be a blessing to break the curse on a lot of folks. In Jesus' name we pray. Well, that's what I want to talk about today, folks. I'd like to, first of all, tell you that people have lived with demons and tormentors for a whole lot of years in a whole lot of forms. You know, tormentors are just the demons. What do demons do to you? Well, it can be almost anything that has to do with the curse. In Deuteronomy 28, it lists most of the curses. The demons are the ones who implement the curse. But in Galatians chapter 3 and verse 13, Jesus bore the curse. But if you're not forgiven, he didn't bear the curse. You're bearing it. And if you're bearing it, guess what? You have yet to see the reconciliation come to pass. Who are we? Well, we are all ministers of reconciliation. What is reconciliation? That's the exchange of what Jesus did on the cross for the way our life was before we came to him. The Lord wants to exchange his life for your life, but we have to repent. You have to forgive, or you don't get any of those benefits like it has in Mark 11, 24 and 25. Now, verse 25 in that is the condition. You have to forgive so that you can have all of these benefits. He said, all things whatsoever. He's not promising us anything if we don't forgive our fellow brothers. Even if you pray and God forgives and heals, the healing is not going to be able to be kept. If the cause, the root cause is not dealt with. How many of you, and I'm asking a question here, how many of you have been prayed for over and over for the same curse and you just can't keep it? And you have been prayed for and nothing happens and you just can't get it. That happens too a lot. Sometimes God turns people over to the curse. It's like when the people of God were desiring flesh in the wilderness. They told him, oh, give us flesh to eat. That made God mad. He wanted to give them manna from heaven, but they wanted nothing but flesh. He told them, he said, okay, you want flesh? I'm going to give you flesh till it comes out your nose, until you're so sick of it that you're willing to do something about it. Well, here's the point, folks. Many of you have been so sick of going through flesh, of partaking of nothing but flesh. Are you willing to say to God, God, I am going to forgive. I'm going to get cleaned up, and I'll do it from the heart by faith. Lord, take this out of my heart. I want to love these people that I haven't forgiven in the past. I want to be able to not have any critical thoughts or critical words or judgmental words or unforgiving words or any kind of a root of bitterness, anything in that inside of me. You know, a lot of curses are falling on people because they won't forgive them from the heart. They'll pop up and they'll say religiously, oh yeah, I forgave them. Yeah, I did. I forgave them. I love them too. But it's not from the heart. It's from the mind. God wants you to come from the deepest part of your heart, your spirit. And he's changing hearts, not just minds. And if you know it's right, then he wants your heart to change and your actions to change. Faith without works and corresponding actions is dead, the word of God said. So the Lord wants your actions to agree with what you say and you have done. He wants your actions to agree that there's no root of bitterness and that you forgive this person, that you're not critical of them. And then that you're not constantly judging them. He wants that out of your life. Because you're going to live under the curse unless you get that out of your life. People that have rejection are easy prey. Because they're constantly hating and criticizing and figuring a way to get back. And God says, you want flesh? I'm going to give you flesh. And all this time, that curse is multiplying. in people's lives and in their families, and it causes division in their families. Criticism and arguments, it comes about in all of them. And all that judgment is coming on them because they don't even know what forgiveness is. They claim that they are forgiven and that they don't even know what it is, you know? They don't understand it. And they'll say it. I love you. I love that so-and-so. It, you know, that's all phony stuff. It's not the truth because their actions prove that they're liars and hypocrites. So if you go under some kind of curse, it don't make any difference what it is. And you have people that have faith pray over you and nothing happens, then stop dealing with the effect and start dealing with the cause. Well, we've gotten to where I wanted to talk to you about. The next couple of hours, hour and 45 minutes or so, we're going to be broadcasting last night's teleconference that had the testimonies about rejection and fear of rejection. And I hope it blesses you in Jesus' name. Thank you. All right, folks. Listen up. It's good. Lord, we just thank you again for another good night. We praise you, Father, for all my brothers and sisters out there, Lord. We thank you, Lord, that you're bringing us into that one accord. Lord, I thank you for teaching us what praise is, teaching us how to praise and when to praise. And, Lord, we just praise you for that. Thank you, Lord, that we know that now we can praise in the midst of our trials, even in the midst of our trials, and thank you for it, Lord. And that really makes you happy. And that makes us happy too, because we know that you're next to us, you're with us. You're watching over us, Lord. And you're guiding our steps too, in the name of Jesus. And Father, we thank you that tonight's going to be an anointed night, that you're going to be orchestrating everything tonight, Lord. And we thank you for that too, in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, anybody got a prayer request? Go ahead, Tim.
Yeah, well, as you saw, Tasha sprained her wrist a little bit today. She ran into a wall as she was. We'd like to pray that that all heals up and that Jesus will deliver her from the pain and the swelling, and there'll be no injury, and she'll be healed before the meeting's over. We thank you for that in Jesus' name.
Amen. Thank you, Lord. And Natasha is healed.
Amen.
Amen. Praise you, Father. Thank you, Lord. Okay, anyone else? What about a praise report? Okay, go ahead. Willie's daughter. I forget your name. No. Oh, she just waving. Okay. All right, anyone got a praise report? I'm just looking for anybody to raise a hand. You raise your hand and scratch your head, I'm going to call on you. Go ahead, Willie.
Recently, I got attacked by a spirit of rejection, you know, and it was taking me down some evil, nasty, ungodly paths, you know, because I was being convinced, you know, I'm alone, I need to find somebody, you know, I need to get out more, you know, I don't like the way things are going, you know. It was interesting the way it came across me, you know, because all it was showing me was the leaves and the branches, you know, it wasn't showing me the root. And I got, you know, yeah, convincing it, you know. Next you know, I'm, you know, stepping out with co-workers from work, and you know, I'm over their house having drinks, Oh, forgive me. You know, and then the spirit's like, you need to find somebody. You know, and I'm feeling alone now, like, oh, man. No, that's right. You know, I need to open myself up to meet people. I'm telling you, the spirit of rejection is very convincing. You know, that's just the way it works. And so, you know, here I am, you know, well, I don't got nobody, you know, by myself, don't got nobody to be with, nobody to love me. So, you know what the next suggestion is going to be. Hey, well, why don't you look at those girls on the computer right there? You know, and so your flesh starts reaching out, you know. You know, you start getting... I want to be careful because I'm around my daughter, but you know what happens after you start looking at things and lusting after things. You're not supposed to, you know. I'll just keep it at that right there, you know. And the things your eyes aren't supposed to be looking at on the computer, you know, that the lust of your flesh will automatically go into activation to fulfill. And so this thing took me on a field trip, man. Took me on a whirlwind. And by mistake, you know, yesterday, the Lord had me turn on a sermon from a guy named Frank Hammond that I had downloaded on my phone. And he was, you know, talking about spiritual deliverance. And he brought up the spirit of rejection, you know, and as I was listening to it, that's when the Lord manifested what it was and caught my attention.
They both 92.
You know, because yeah, I was born for the ride. You know, I was in the passenger seat, you know, and it didn't bother me.
Do you go to a
it's interesting, you know, it didn't bother me. I didn't feel too much of anything except that it felt like I was sneaking around. That's what it felt like. You know, when you're trying, when you cheat on your girlfriend, you know, a girlfriend cheats on her boyfriend, you know. I become very sneaky when it comes to sin. And I become very stubborn, you know, with a will to not, with having a will against wanting to stop. And so the Lord showed me that spirit of rejection. And he said, you know, he showed me that I had a spirit of rejection. You know, and it's been with me for a while. You know, for a long time. And it's it just went quiet, like, weirdly dormant, and then it just popped up his head, you know, with a fury. And you know, it was crippling everything. Crippling everything. Joy in the Lord, worship, crippling everything. You know, bring me, it was, like I said, I was along for the ride. And, you know, God had to, you know, change the channel on the radio, you know, to get my attention. And so he caught my attention. You know, I repented of those things. You know, and I called up a friend and I confessed those things to him. You know, what I did, you know, what I was going through. And yesterday I was like, you know, let me cast out these spirits. You know, everything in my flesh was like, yeah, I like where I'm at, I'm good, you know, but the Lord, you know, was my help. The Lord was my strength, you know, and he helped me out. And he greatly delivered me. You know, that, and it is still happening today, you know. I'm not a person who worships and praises a lot. I'm going to tell you that right now. I'm not a person who worships and praises a lot at all, you know. I'm very good sometimes at putting on faces because I've always been a very secretive sinner. I don't like to confess things to people. I don't like telling people what I'm going through. You know, I don't want to tell people what I'm struggling with. I just want to one day overcome it and have a perfect face and an upright look in the sight of other people so that they don't have to be worried or troubled or be caused to stumble. You know, that was also a spirit of, you know, rejection. That was all the spirit of rejection. All of it. You know, all of it. All of it. You know, not wanting to explain where I'm spiritually at and what I'm spiritually struggling with. You know, not wanting to be looked at or judged by other people or to be seen as weak in the sight of other people, or having some form of rebellion being made manifest, you know. I hate in my, you know, those were the things I hated revealing about myself. And, you know, I can still, you know, feel that hatred for it now. Because, I, like I said, the Lord started dealing with me as of yesterday. And I thank him for his grace, you know, just to be able to say this to you guys. You know, because it needs to be said. It needs to be manifested. It needs to be revealed, you know, so that, you know, it no longer has a place to hide. You know, I'm very good at hiding sin. You know, but it's never it, but it always consumes my life. Eventually, you know, it always consumes my life. I become separated from people, you know. I become unapproachable. You know, everything that, you know, I would be spiritually gentle, kind, you know, ready to pray for people, you know, ready to worship, you know, all those things, it just becomes completely the opposite from me, you know, as this spirit of rejection works in me. You know, or as we obey, you know, the voice of the spirit of rejection, or however you want to say it. You know, you follow rejection, you know, you'll do the total opposite of everything that you've ever done spiritually. And that's how the spirit of rejection works. At least that's how I know it. You know, it always worked with me, you know. I remember one time my brother saying to me, you know, the way that demon came on you is because you've always been so secretive whenever you were sinning. You never let anybody know what you were doing. You know, I would hide it. And I guess it, you know, I guess it would be because, you know, I was ashamed of it. And I didn't want nobody to know about it, you know. Can you guys hear me fine?
Yeah.
I would become very arrogant, you know, very hard-hearted, you know. And it wasn't like an arrogance I would show toward, like, you guys. It would be an arrogance that I would show against God. You know, I would have a very stony nature against praying, against reading the word, you know. This is how that spirit of rejection would work in me. And people don't understand, you know, anything you do, I'm going to speak about myself. I'm not going to try to, you know, talk more than that. But what the Lord did show me, he led me to Psalms 51 and I read that. And he showed me how Psalms 51 was totally against the spirit of rejection. And then I went to Book of John and he showed me how, you know, in 1 John, I began to read it and it was totally against the spirit of rejection. And so the Lord began to deal with the spirit of rejection. Psalms 51 speaks about being washed, being made clean, renewing the right spirit within a person, taking not the Holy Spirit away from an individual. You know, how does this happen? You know, spirit of rejection. You know, the spirit of rejection is powerful, powerful. You know, it's as powerful as it was when it showed up in the Garden of Eden, you know, and came against Eve. You know, and cause her to reject the things of God. And so I was very, you know, I was living in sin because of that spirit of rejection. I'm not going to candy coat it. I'm not going to water it down. Every sin was like candy to me, and I enjoyed it. And so, you know, I said, you know, let me just confess that, you know. And that's why I wanted to say, when every good gift and every perfect gift cometh down from the Father of lights, in whom there is no shadow of turning. And I thank him for not turning from me, you know, because I was something. I thank him for it, though. That's all I got to say. There's some other things I can't remember.
Well, you know, Willie, that's probably one of the most pervasive spirits in people that there is that spirit of rejection and the fear of rejection also. Both of those run together quite a bit.
I have rejection, self-rejection, fear of rejection. It was like almost, you can name it. You know, anything that dealt with rejection, I had since my youth. You know, I can remember, it started with me in kindergarten. I can remember feeling rejected and depressed and alone. You know, all the time, every day. You know, that's what led to some thoughts of suicide. When I started getting into poetry, I know it was a demon spirit, because I can write these very nice, you know, very well, you know, written poems, but they were very lonely and dark poems, you know, just well written for someone my age, being in middle school, who wasn't astute at anything when it came to school. English sucked, social studies sucked, math sucked. I love science, every other thing sucked. You know, I sucked at everything. But I tell you, I can write a poem, you know, like any person. My English teacher compared me to Edgar Allan Poe. That's how impressed my English teacher was with me in middle school. But I was writing these things from a demon spirit, because I had a spirit of rejection, you know. And with that spirit of rejection comes the spirit of loneliness, the spirit of depression, you know. It's the spirit of hatred and unforgiveness, you know, the spirit of bitterness, hardness of heart, you know. I had them all. I hated my enemies, hated them, didn't care, couldn't care nothing for them. And the only pleasure I found was in my artwork. And that's why it became a huge idol for me, you know, a huge idol. One of the biggest things for me to break over my life. Because it was so engrossed, you know, with going through all of that rejection and going through that depression. All of my artwork was my escape. You know, some people do drugs, I do art. But yeah, I just want to confess that to everybody, you know.
That's awesome. That's awesome.
Give the devil something to scream about.
Amen. Thank you, Lord. Well, let's pray for Missy right quick. Father, in the name of Jesus, right now, we come against depression. We command it to go from her. In the name of Jesus, you have to go. She's a child of God, and she's not under the curse. And we thank you, Father, that she's clean of it. In the name of Jesus, that depression is gone. We thank you, Lord, for placing joy and peace in her heart. In the name of Jesus. And we thank you, Father. We count it all as done. In Jesus' name. You believe that, Missy? Amen. Me too. It's done. All right. Tim, go ahead, brother.
So I wanted to thank Willie for that testimony. And while he's given it, it seemed like I would imagine that Lot, when you make the transition from living in the world to going to live in the spirit, that spirit of rejection, you've dealt with it in the worldly aspect, and then to hide your sin like that, or disguise it, or bury it, put it underneath stuff, because you're afraid of rejection from God, because you haven't realized the grace that comes with being a Christian. And so I can see, you deny your old man, and you're going to be rejected by the world, but you don't want to be rejected by God now as well. So I can see, why we would hide that sin until we're delivered from it as we grow. But it really struck a lot of chords with me with that testimony. And I just wanted to thank him for it. But I think that spirit of rejection carries on until we mature a little bit more, and that we're afraid of being rejected by God. And because that would be a really big blow to get, be rejected of the world, and to go to God, and then to find out that, God rejects you because of your past lives. So thank you, Willie. That was great.
Amen. Now, I would say that, no, you can be clean of that spirit of rejection right now. I don't care if you're a day-old Christian. You can be cleansed of it, because the Lord said, by his stripes you are healed. Not only that, he says in Mark 11:24, when you pray, you believe what you pray, you're going to have it. Yeah, and you have to, but Tim, you're right in the sense that you have to keep fighting it. You have to keep battling that spirit, because he's going to go out there and he's going to come right back and try to get back in. And if you give him any kind of opportunity to come back in, he's going to come back in. And that's just like depression, Missy. He's going to just go out there and do him a little wheelie and come back. And all you have to do is just rebuke him when he comes, tries to come back home. And that's our job. That's why it's a continual warfare. It's a continual spiritual battle that we're in. Until we get to heaven. Now, it gets easier as the days goes on, and you keep rebuking that spirit of rejection and that spirit of the fear of rejection and that depression or whatever it is. It makes no difference. A lot of people have that spirit of rejection. A lot of people have unforgiveness. But I'm going to tell you something. If you do like Woody just did and confess it, it's not going to be a problem. You have to confess it. You have to confess those things that hinder your walk with the Lord. You can't hide it. I know that people with rejection, and I can be honest with you, I didn't even know what the spirit of rejection was until I came here. I did not know what it was. I didn't have any kind of a sense of it. I never experienced it to the extent that a lot of people do. And I learned over the years being here and seeing how that spirit operates, and understanding that it was a spirit of rejection, that you have to confess that thing right off the get-go and get rid of it, or it'll drag you down. And it ain't going to stop. It's not going to stop right away. I believe that's what Tim was referring to. It ain't going to stop right away. That thing will keep on bugging you. If it sees an opening, it's coming in. But you just have to keep rebuking it. No, I don't accept that in Jesus' name. And go on. And Willie just got through relating the textbook example of what happens to a person with that spirit of rejection. So, praise God. Yes, Willie.
Yeah, I just wanted to say as well, the spirit of rejection, when it's there, it'll try to disguise itself, also in righteous works. Mm-hmm. You'll try to ignore it, I'm just going to put it that way. It will disguise itself in righteous works. It'll try to, it's like, oh, I need a cigarette. Just like when a person wants a moment of relief, they get a cigarette. You know, I just need to go outside and have a smoke, my nerves, you know. But it will disguise itself in righteous works. It will fill every opportunity to try to do some type of righteous work besides facing, you know, what's really going, you know. I even got caught in that, you know, trying to, oh, let me do this, everything to bounce around except dealing with, you know, that rejection. You know, the Lord told me to do a strange thing. I didn't bother to think about it, you know. He said, in everything, give thanks. In everything, give thanks. Can you imagine saying to God, Father, I thank you for falling into the traps and the pitfalls and the sin of the spirit of rejection? Father, I thank you for bringing me there. Father, I thank you for the wrong that I committed. But I thank you through it and your glory was made manifest. Can you imagine thanking God for the wrong stuff you did? But it says everything. Thank him for everything. And the Lord had me start doing that when I started, you know, last night, dealing with this spirit of rejection. And I didn't know everything to say. I said, you know, I don't know everything to say, Lord, how to say it the right way. I said, I just, you know, I thank you for the sins that I committed, you know, the drinking that I committed, the lust that I committed, you know. I couldn't think of no formula of the best way to say it, so I just said it plain out. You know, Lord, I thank you for your forgiveness from it. I thank you for it being manifested that I might be broken. I thank you for what I was really trying to say is I thank you for all the evils that I fell into, you know, so that I could see this rejection, you know, so that it could be revealed, you know, and that it could no longer be hid. And that's, you know, thanking him for everything, you know. I don't know so much as you're supposed to say, I thank you for being a sinner. I don't know. But it was just basically God telling me to give thanks for the evils that I fell into because of all of it, you know, and how all of it worked, you know, to the will of God, you know. Just like Joseph was cast into prison, just like, you know, anyone who had to go through a trial, you know. John the Baptist's father was put to silence until John was born. Praise God. But what came out of his mouth after he spoke? Praise God. You know, what comes out of that evil after God delivers you from it? You know, praise God. God will get the glory for the good and God will get the glory for the evil. You know, every knee will bow and every tongue will confess, you know, that Jesus is Lord, you know. So if you're going through an evil, you know, that a sin is bringing into your life, you know, begin to praise God for it. The enemy's not going to like that. He's going to want you to stay in the pit. He wants you to keep the net. He wants you to stay tied up, you know. He wants you to stay in bondage. He wants you to be depressed over the evil. Oh, don't thank God. Oh, no. Feel regretful. Feel depressed. Feel broken, you know. Feel cast down. You know, feel a failure. Feel like a failure, you know. Don't thank God for any of that, you know. Don't. You know, I'm not in the business of setting captives free. I'm in the business of keeping you bound. You know, but God started having me do that. You know, giving him thanks for the evil, you know, that came into my life because of sin that I committed, you know. So I started thanking him. You know, I said, Lord, I thank you for the evil that I fell into because of the spirit of rejection. Because of the depression, you know, because of the self-rejection, you know, because of this, because of that. Father, I thank you. Lord, I bless your holy name. It made me think of Job. It says not an evil word was found in his mouth against God. No matter what happened to him. Man, your wealth was tucked in. Your servants died. Your kids died. Your house fell in on them. A whole lot of evil stuff just happened, Joe. You know, the Lord gives, the Lord taketh away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. You want to know how to cast out an evil spirit? Here's one way to do it. Bless God for the good that comes in your life and bless God for the evil that comes into your life. He'll cast out spirits out of you so quickly. They'll start screaming and moaning, and you'll hear them scream and moan and come out of you because they got no more place to hide. But yeah, that's all I got to say. It'll cause you to confess a lot of sin in your life too. Yeah. Yeah. But praise God. I thank God for it.
Amen. Amen. And I thought that was wonderful. That was cool. That's a good testimony of what happens, how it happens, and where it happened. Yeah, Patrick.
Willie, I just wanted to ask you, you said that when you were a child, like in kindergarten, you noticed it then. Did you connect that with a specific something that happened in your life, or was it just something that was the first time you noticed it?
That was just the first time I noticed it. It started with being picked on and being rejected by other kids, you know, and not learning as fast as other people. And so the teachers were very patient. They weren't very gentle. And it caused me to become introverted and to feel, you know, depressed.
When I was a kid, I can remember the same thing. Now, when I was a kid, I was a bedwinner from the time I was, you know, time I can remember, and. That used to bring such obviously a rejection, just brought that rejection out in me as not, you know, not worthy, not being accepted, not whatever. But I remember something that my father did one time. There was a bird. We had a bird or something that, came into our yard and he couldn't fly. And so I kind of took him under my, you know, took him and was feeding him and whatnot. And a few weeks later, the dogs chased that bird down and killed it and was down next to the bottom of our stairs or something. And I went out and, you know, and I was feeling really, you know, teary-eyed and everything about this bird that was laying out there. And my dad came out. He said, "What's wrong?" I said, "You know, the dogs killed the bird," he said, "It's just a bird. Forget it," you know. And something as innocent as that hit me, as for whatever reason, as that my father was rejecting me. You know, how you can make that connection, I don't know, but the devil works in miraculous ways in dealing with people. And I remember so what happened is with that being rejected or feeling rejected, you start to isolate yourself away from even your family, you know. Find your own little hiding place. And it kind of hit me when you were talking about, you know, you lose yourself in in art, I picked up the guitar and started learning to play guitar. And that's the same way. I would focus in on playing music and learning how to play and this and that. And you just lose all perspective of time, because, and it's enjoyable and it's comfortable, not only because of, you know, just the excitement of learning something new and learning to, you know, say play an instrument or something like that, but it became a safe environment, a safe place where I could control, I could protect. I knew I was safe in there, type of thing. And you tend to live in your own little world, so to speak, isolated and protected in that little world. And the problem is, it's just not when you say sit down to play guitar or do your art. It's when you interact with people out in the world, all you're doing is taking that little self-focused, mm-hmm. protected entity out there in the world, and you're interacting and communicating and doing your job. And obviously, it also motivates you to excel in your work, and yes. So you're acceptable, and you're better, you know, you can be the best at what you're doing and all that. And
it made me feel prideful. It made me feel better than other people. I didn't let anybody into my circle or into my bubble except, you know, people that I favored, you know, and people I had no favor for, you know, I didn't talk to them. Although I greatly desired to speak with people, you know, and to be accepted. That bubble, you know, became a prison for me. No, I didn't know it, but it really was. It was a prison, you know. And it was only where, you know, me and the devil, you know, entertained ourselves.
And that's that. I can relate to that exact thing, because. And you can see it happening in the world. It's really prevalent, say, in the world of music, where you had people like Michael Jackson and Prince and all these people like that. Michael Jackson was totally controlled by the spirit of rejection in his life. But look at them. I'm going to say, look at it in his way, look at the success and everything that he excelled to and he achieved, and the wrote many songs, became very popular, and the whole thing, simply because he was driven by that spirit of rejection. But the thing, the interesting thing that hit me is that even though this was functioning in my life, I really didn't understand the degree of it. And quite frankly, if God wasn't able to overcome that to a certain degree, I would have never came to him. And that's why when I came to the Lord, I became aware of who Jesus was. And it was not connected to, at that time, it wasn't connected to I wasn't brought to the Lord by preaching, you know, sin against this. And so I wasn't brought by a preaching of sin and everything in my life. I was attracted to God, the goodness of Christ. And that's how I was attracted to him, and that's how I was drawn to him. And it was that drawing of God in that time of my life. And I was just so attracted and enamored and desired to know this Jesus, the one raised the dead, the one who laid hands on the sick and healed, the one that cast out demons. This person, I wanted to know him, but I didn't have any sense of my own sinfulness. I just had a sense of his acceptance. Some of the stories in the Gospels that really hit me were especially the one, I wish I could even think of where it is right now, but it's the one where Jesus was invited to, he was invited to one of the Jews, one of the...
to dinner?
Yeah, to dinner. And I believe, I don't know how this works, where anybody can kind of walk into a dinner where it's like maybe a public dinner or something, but this woman came in and she started washing his feet with her tears and wiping his feet with her hair. And Jesus sat there and was talking to this Pharisee and said, and of course they were judging Jesus at this time because he should have known what kind of woman this was. But he rebuked the Pharisee at that time by simply saying, I came into the house, you never washed my feet, you never gave me a kiss, yet this woman, since the time I entered, has not ceased to, I'm getting emotional now when I'm reading it, hasn't ceased to kiss my feet and to wash my, and then he bent down and he said, woman, though your sins are great, you are forgiven, your faith has saved thee. It was stories like that that so attracted me to the goodness of God, the goodness of Christ, that I wanted to know him. I don't know why I particularly said that, but it was, if this spirit of rejection and if this constant preaching against my sin and this and that would have been the case in my life, I don't know that I would have came to Christ. But it was this God accepting me the way I am, and then, I mean, believe it or not, like the next day he started showing me my sin after I accepted him and confessed him, you know. But the thing that hits me is exactly that scripture. I was talking a week or so ago about that the Lord was showing me, and that is in Hebrews 12:1, where he said, therefore let us also, seeing we are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, lay aside every weight and the sin which does so easily beset us. Let us run with patience the race that's set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, so-and-so and so-and-so. And Hebrews, and then verse 6, where he says, or verse 5 is, have you forgotten the exhortation which reasoneth with you as with sons? My son, regard not lightly the chastening of the Lord, nor faint with that when thou art reproved of him. For whom the Lord loves, he chastens, and scourges every son whom he receives. And it reminded me of when the Lord so revealed himself to me in those very, very early days, that he was receiving me the way I was, and I had to, and just like these verses are saying, that he wants us to focus upon the fact that he has received us. We are his sons, to focus on that, even in the midst of these things where, and he's just now, I guess, teaching me this again now to, what is the scripture in Romans where he says, reckon yourself dead and to be dead indeed unto sin, but alive unto God. And it's one of these things, like you were just saying, that you started to take a forceful attack at that thing by focusing on specific truths and applying them, putting them right back on the devil, and thanking the Lord for those things while you were in the midst of them. And that's the hard part, it seems like, because when you are feeling rejected, when you're feeling condemned, it's hard to thank God and point to those things and thank God for them. But praise the Lord. I think he's teaching us some things here. Amen. That's all I have to say.
Yeah, amen. This is good. I'm learning some stuff here too, guys. This is awesome. All right. Anyone else want to comment or ask a question about rejection?
Yes, I wanted to speak about three things real quick. The first off would be that I've always suffered with the spirit of the fear of rejection. I don't have too much trouble rejecting people. But I have a terrible fear when I meet a person that they're going to reject me. And I've had it since I was a little kid. I can remember fearing that. I don't know how to get free from it. I'm praying God will get me free.
But go ahead.
I was going to pray for my wife.
Okay.
Okay. She's having knee trouble. In her knee, right and left knee, but mostly her left knee. And she's
like the whole leg.
Yeah, the whole leg, she says. And her ears, both ears are filled with wax, and we don't know how to get them empty. She don't want to go to the doctor for it, because the last time she went to the doctor, he caused her to bleed, and he dug in her ear, and it hurt her a whole lot. So we need to get her ears cleared out so she can hear me again, and get her legs healed so she can walk. And the last thing I wanted to say, but I need prayer for the rejection, to fear rejection. But the last thing I wanted to say is, I also am a Joseph, like the other two Josephs. Everybody in my family is a Joseph except my mother and one brother. My grandparents, my grandfathers are Josephs. Everybody's Joseph, either first or second name. So I just wanted to say that. But I really need prayer for the spirit of rejection, the fear of rejection, not rejection. I don't normally reject people, because I know that they can't be no worse than I am. So.
Go ahead, Willie.
I just wanted to share something that related with the fear of and sickness because of rejection. The Lord showed me something about rejection of self. And he said a lot of people get sick because there are certain things they don't like about themselves. And they repeat it over and over. And they repeat it over and over. And they repeat it over and over. Whether with the mind or with the mouth, or with the behavior. And it allows the rejection to bring sickness on the body, to bring certain ailments on the body, to bring certain destruction on the body. And so I just wanted to relate that, because the Lord did share that with me about rejecting, everything we're supposed to be giving thanks for. We're supposed to give thanks for, Father, thank you for giving me this body. I praise you, Lord. says in the scripture, we are fearfully and wonderfully made. And I used to look in the mirror all the time, find something wrong, and then say something. You know, get up in the morning, look at my stomach, find something wrong, say something. Look at my teeth, say something wrong, walk out the door. It's just, this is all rejection. This is all the spirit of rejection. You know, working with self-rejection, working with depression. You know, when a person can't give, you know, thanks in their trial, it's not going to feel good in the middle of your trial while you're in that rejection, while you're in that depression, you know, while you're dealing with the trunk, you know, and the branches and the leaves and the fruits of this tree of rejection, because that's all it's allowing you to see. It's not allowing you to get down to the roots, which is rejection. You're just going, oh, woe is me, the fruit. Woe is me, the leaves. Woe is me, the branches. Woe is me, the trunk. You know, but never getting to the root of the issue. And the root of the issue is that spirit of rejection. You know, we have not been rejected by God. We have not been cast down by God. You know, we have not been, you know, set apart from. There's nothing in the scriptures where it says, you know, every good gift and every perfect gift comes down from the Father of the lights, in whom there is no shadow of turning. You know, no shadow of turning. You know, no shadow of turning. You know, and, you know, that's what Satan came against in the garden. They were promised a good, you know, and perfect gift. Let us make man in our image and our likeness. And here comes Satan with some rebellion, which caused them to reject it. You know, and they begin to reject things about the word of God. They looked at that tree and they're like, you know what? Why should I be deprived if I can eat of everything in the garden? Why should I be deprived of even this one? Does not God love me? You know, rejection is an evil spirit, but that's all I want to say. You know, search yourself. Are you dealing with any rejection about your body? You know, and denounce it, you know, cast it down, you know, cast it out, you know, in Jesus' name, you know. And that healing that you want to have on your body, once you've gotten rid of that root issue, will happen. But yeah, I'm done. Sorry. I just need
to say. No, that's okay. Really, that's good. It's going to help. Going to help a lot of folks. I'm seeing a lot of chat out there about rejection. Go ahead, Pat.
One thing that I'd like to bring up, I was studying in Ephesians. Ephesians, it's 2:10. Ephesians 2:10, it says, for we are his, it obviously starts out in verse 8, basically. For by grace have you been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It's a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God afore prepared that we should walk in them. And it's that last portion that said, which God afore prepared that we should walk in them. And if the Lord, this is what he showed me about this particular thing, is that God has already placed good works within us in Christ. But one of the main ways that good work will be manifested and will come out is when there's a need for it. And so therefore, God has to bring us into conditions or situations of need so that we can allow him through the Spirit of Christ to bring Christ out of us and answer that particular need. Now, I've always thought about that from that perspective as being a need outside of myself. and you know, to address you know, somebody in need out there, that and that I can a work of Christ to work out and address that person's particular need. And I'm sure that 90% of it is that, but there is this aspect which I'm going through now, is that God is bringing up these needs within me, coming out of this old flesh, and again, like this spirit of rejection, or these things of rejection. Rejection, as any other sin, needs to have a place, a foothold, a thought, or something in our lives in order to keep coming back to and keep, you know, keep coming back to rest on. So it has that point of maneuverability or manipulation in our life. And so, and of course, that's where repentance and confession and everything comes in, as we start to shed light on that and loosen up those places and start to get rid of those places that where he stands. But I know it sounds like in Willie's life, and looking at the our section of the chat portion of the here, a lot of us have that same condition where this rejection, for some whatever reason, has a place in our lives, even in the corporate here, has a place in our lives where we don't seem to be able to get out of it. And I know there's a lot of confession, and we're all confessing tonight. And even if we knew where the places where the devil has it, he's using these places of manipulation in our lives or these things, we would be able to confess it and lose him and lose that influence. But I think what I'm feeling tonight is that there's really maybe a need for us to, as a group or as a whole, to give God thanks for this spirit of rejection and these rejection, these places of rejection that we all feel in our lives, and thank him for him so that he can shed even more light on us and set us free. Because I know I can say these things and I can confess certain things, but it only takes, it seems like it only takes a little feather to pop me back into it. Like even this morning I woke up, I wasn't feeling rejected. I was just feeling not there. I was just feeling like, you know, something's wrong. And it's just a feeling that I wake up with in the morning. And I just feel like there's just a need. Even I think Wade was asking for prayer in that. Are you able to give God thanks for that? I guess for starting. I'm sitting here reading "Prison to Praise," Marlon Crothers, and that's the whole point of his book, is to thank God for the. Can you thank God for your wife? For your wife that's getting ready to divorce you, or whatever the situation was. And as we give God thanks for these things that we can't change within us, that God's going to set us free. So that's just my feeling.
I believe it. That's what the word said. In the trial you're in right now, give God the thanks. Why do you think we need to give God the thanks for the trial we're in? Because it's opening our eyes to see that, hey, there's something wrong here. I don't want to be in this position. I don't want to have this problem in my life. So, Lord, I just thank you for putting me in this trial, because I understand now, and you're going to get the glory, Father. I ain't nothing I can do, but I thank you for it, Father. I thank you that I am in this particular position so I can see that I'm not right, that I need to get right. And the only way I can get right is if you get me right. And I'm just going to believe, Lord. I'm just going to believe. And I'll tell you something else. We're going to pray. And everybody in here that has that spirit of rejection is going to lose it. And then from this point on, remember, that we prayed a prayer of faith. Now it's up to us to maintain
position.
Position that we're in now. And the way you do that is to keep fighting it until it doesn't bother you anymore. That's the way you do it. So, Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord, I thank you so much tonight for all of these wonderful testimonies, Father, that's showing us what the spirit of rejection is, how it got there, even when it got there, Lord. And we are, and Lord, given us the wherewithal to understand that we even have the spirit of rejection. And Father, I thank you for the position that you've brought us into that place, Lord, so that we can share, other people can get set free, Father, in the name of Jesus. Right now, I come against that spirit of rejection and everybody on this fellowship. Right now, I command it to go in the name of Jesus. In the mighty name of the Lord Jesus Christ of Nazareth, you have to loose yourself from everybody in this room, in Jesus, and those that are listening. You go right now in Jesus' name. And Father, I just give you thanks that everyone has been cleansed of this spirit. And the spirit of the fear of rejection, you go in the name of Jesus. And all the associated demons with it, you go right now in the name of Jesus. And Father, we give you glory and praise.
Thank you, Jesus.
From this point on, Father, that we are free from this demon.
Yes.
These demons and this tormenting demon. In Jesus' name. And we praise you, Lord. We thank you, Lord.
Thank you, Jesus.
Glory be to God. Praise your holy name, Lord. Praise you, Lord, that you have set us free, Lord. We thank you, Father, because we believe what your word says. Your word says when we pray. And we believe what we pray that we're going to get. And we thank you for it, Lord, that everybody here that receives that is free. And thank you, Lord, for it in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Angelica, you're free. Missy, you're free. Everybody in here that's been experiencing that problem is free from this point on in Jesus' name. And all we have to do from this point on is thank God for it. Praise him for it. 99% praise.
Amen.
Thank you, Lord Jesus.
Thank you, Jesus.
Boy, this is wonderful. This is really good. This is good stuff. I have enjoyed it. I've learned some stuff here. Praise God. It's good when you tell the testimonies about yourself and all through your life, like Willie and Pat have done. It's just amazing how that spirit stays with you. Yeah, Joe, how that spirit stays with you all your life like that until you understand that you can get rid of it. Go ahead, buddy.
Well, thanks, Willie and Pat, for at least doing part of my job there. I was thinking, how do I go about and share my prayer request? But I see, Willie, you started, and Pat, and I mean, of course, everything you guys said and others is, wow. It was such amazing revelation. But I just asked for prayer that, if you want to pray for everybody at the end of the call here, but just I have a couple people that I've rejected recently in my life. You know, I think there was some unforgiveness that I dealt with, and it's still kind of a temptation at times, but you know, it's like Wade and others. Yeah. That fear of rejection is a bad one, but I've done my fair share of rejecting people too. So I think it's a boss of mine, you know, and my current boss. So, you know, just for the treatment that I believe he has allowed in the past so many years, you know, as a result, I have rejected him. And my parents. I mean, I was talking to Brother Albert this past weekend about that. And so he sensed the Lord was telling him as well. And I've sensed the Lord before was saying, well, Joe, you need to reconcile this is what I want prayer for. I want the wisdom and discernment in this area. What should I do? You know, okay, I've forgiven them. And at times I have to, you know, forgive them. But I mean, I remember David saying, you know, concerning forgiveness, you have to you attempt to reconcile that person, or you attempt to make amends. And so I guess, you know, it's interesting we're talking about the spirit of rejection, because I think that's probably why I haven't really tried to, or I haven't, you know, tried to give my boss the, you know, the benefit of the doubt, or realize, well, he's not saved, so, you know, he's going to do these things, or he's going to act this way. So just, you know, keep me in prayer about that. You know, how can God, you know, restore or use me, you know, when the time is right to reach out to these people. And if needed, confess, you know, how I felt, or just, you know, extend that olive branch and say, okay, you know, no more hard feelings, no more distance, you know. So yeah.
I'll tell you what the word says, Joe. Yep. Word says leave your stuff at the altar and go out there and make it right with your brother right then. Mm-hmm. Make it right with him. You make it right with him, you'll get set free. You go tell him, say, listen, I've had this stuff inside of me. I just want to apologize to you. And I asked you forgiveness for the hard thoughts that I've had. And I'll tell you what, it'll set you free. I've seen it happen.
That's what they were saying, yeah. That's what they were saying, so. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, brother. Amen. Okay, anybody else? Thank you, Joe.
No problem. Amen.
Let's see what we got here. Praise God. All right. All right, anybody else want to talk about rejection or spirit of rejection? I think it's gone. Yeah, Tim, go ahead, brother.
Yeah, well, I was just going to say that you can marry up what Joe said with what Pat and Willie have been talking about. And, you know, if you can learn to forgive, anytime you know, David's taught on this, and it's made a world of difference in the way I deal with people and my life, is if you forgive them, it didn't matter how long ago it was or how petty it was, something that you hold, you know, a grudge against, you can forgive them for that, and then you can deal with them without any rejection after you have, from your heart, forgiven them. You know, just say, hey, you know, I don't know why you did it, you know, why it bothered me or whatever, but yeah, it makes rejection not near as much of a problem because you've forgiven them for it and you don't have any thought against them. It's been a real blessing in my life to learn about that and to put it into practice. I thank God for it because I could carry a grudge a lot further than a lot of people could.
Well, you know, I was always blessed in that regard. Hang on, Angelica, I'll get you just in a second. I just want to make this point. I wouldn't hold a grudge hardly a half a second. I just forget about it. I said, life, my deal was that I'm not going to hold a grudge because life's too short. And if I hold a grudge, you know, we'd get in a fight, and the next thing you know, we're all drinking soda pops together, or beer, or whatever it was, you know. But I just never did hold a grudge. So this, like I was telling you before, this spirit of rejection was a brand new thing for me when I came into UBM. Of course, David, if you've heard his testimony, he dealt with that his whole life, too. And it seems as though that if you had a father or a mother or somebody in your life that was that had that same spirit, it was passed on through their, you know, they were real hard on people, you know, real hard on their children or whatever, you know. And anyway, I praise God for this tonight. This is awesome. This is going to help a lot of folks out there, too. Okay, Angelica, go ahead, huh?
Oh, I just wanted to, I'll talk about rejection too, but I just wanted to pray for Brother Wade and Jeanette, for her her pain in her knees and for her ears. So, Heavenly Father, in Jesus' name, I just lift up to you, Sister Jeanette, Lord God, and I just ask for your mercy and grace on her life, Lord God. I speak healing and wholeness, Lord God, into her joints, Lord God. I bind and break the power of every wicked devil that would come against her knees, Lord God. In Jesus' name, I speak strength into her knees, into her muscles, her joints, her tendons, Lord God. And I just speak, Lord God, that earwax would be unhardened, Lord God, and that her ears would be healed, Lord God, in the name of Jesus. And I command it to come, do that earwax to be loosed, to come out in the name of Jesus. And I just bless her, Lord God, and I bless her body, Lord God. I ask that you would give her strength in her body and her mind, Lord God, and that she would just, you would just bless her with a spirit of praise, Lord God, and testimony, Lord God, in the name of Jesus. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Angelica. I forgot about that. Thank you so much.
Oh, that's okay. I basically ditto to everything everyone's saying about rejection, and I actually kind of through that now, and I guess I didn't really attribute it to rejection, but it's like you said, you know, my mom had a spirit of rejection, you know, I have a spirit of rejection, and she was really hard on me, and you know, I'm kind of, you know, there was this battle that, you know, we're talking about, where, you know, last time, where you're not supposed to be going based off of our feelings and things of that nature, and for a good part of my walk, I felt the acceptance of God. I felt, you know, open heavens and just, you know, the love of God upon me, a spirit of praise upon me, and all of that. And here recently, I just got through this trial, and I've just, you know, I've just been really upset about it. I'm really upset that it even happened. I'm regretting that it even happened. And, you know, I'm just hard on myself, but, what happens to me is because, like, my mom and my dad, basically, my mom was very ugly with me. We had a volatile relationship. And, but she could never really help me in my life. Because she, you know, she was a single mother of three kids. She was gone, and she couldn't help me with homework. She couldn't really read or anything like that. And my dad wasn't in the picture. So I was very self-dependent, and I grew, high-minded, and just, how can I say, like Brother Willie said, you know, you just look down on them because what can they do for you, you know, and they're just ignorant, and, you know, I was a bit of an intellect and all of that, but I guess it was just something I did. I hardened myself so that I can not to be dependent on anybody, because I knew that I could count on nobody, and that nobody could answer any. I couldn't talk to anybody. I didn't have anyone to talk to. I couldn't express myself in any way to anybody. And so now, going through this trial, I feel, you know, rejected of the Lord, even though I know what the Word says. I feel like, you know, because I'm not hearing anything, or because I'm not, I don't feel, you know, those things, you know, that, that something is wrong. And I just, my go-to attitude is to want to just harden myself and just say, you know, like I would always do, just leave me alone. Like, whatever, like, I don't care. Leave me alone. I don't want to deal with it. Like, to where I don't even want to deal with God, you know, and it's a horrible attitude. I mean, that's foolishness. And I'm really, my spirit man's crying out, but I mean, my flesh is just like, you know, wants to harden itself, because, well, if you reject me, well, then I reject you. You know what I mean? And, and I'm just, you know, and it's like, you know, God is true. You know, God is true. He is true, or he isn't. And he, you know, he has power over these devils. You know what I mean? When I feel like I've been battling this thing for a long time, and you know, there shouldn't be, I don't feel like it should be, you know, I mean, I know there's different root causes to rejection, and I felt like I've dealt with that in the past, and I don't understand why it's still an issue. I don't understand why, you know, this, I mean, I understand there's strongholds, but I just feel like I've repented I guess maybe I don't understand fully what am I supposed to repent of. And you know, why is this so hard to get rid of? I mean, look at all of us believers are dealing with this, and it just really upsets me.
Go ahead, Willie.
Rejection uses pride. Pride is that bubbly little circle of protection that you create in order to create relationships with other people. You know, and that's why we're all dealing with it. We got our little secret. We got our little bubble of protection, you know. And in that area, rejection is being protected. Yeah, my mom was hard on me because she went through a lot of abuse. And so when she had children, that hardness of heart against her father, that anger, that bitterness, that unforgiveness, you know, she didn't try to pour it out on me, but it was part of her nature, you know, and it was part of her alcoholism, you know. And she became a different person, literally a different person whenever she drank, literally a different person, different, like two split personalities. And that's what rejection gives you, you know. You get that split personality, you know, that split nature. It's like the blood of the carnal nature, literally. If I can describe it as anything, it's like your blood, your flesh, you know. This rejection, you know, has covered you since, you know, birth. I would like to say, you know, because of the fall of man, you know, it's a very strong spirit, and it comes in through weakness. You know, it comes in through decisions we might make in our lives, decisions our parents made with their lives that affected our lives, you know, unforgiveness. You know, it's that, but it's a very strong chief spirit. It's a very strong chief spirit, you know, and it affects us mightily. It does. And so what we do is we create bubbles of fellowship with one another. I have a spirit of rejection, but I don't want you to know. So I'm going to get prideful. I'm going to get prided up. And then I'm going to say, praise the Lord with you guys. And I'm going to try to walk as perfect as I can before you while having all of this rejection on the inside. You know. But I want you guys to think of me as perfect, you know, because I don't want to be rejected. You know. And I don't want this rejection to be made known inside of me, you know, and I don't want to be known by this rejection, but you know, you want love. You want people to pour themselves. You want to pour yourself out on people. You want people to pour themselves out on you. And it's like, you know, you got this gulf of rejection. You know how bad I want to say how many people I love right now, you know. Just looking at Missy broke me, you know. I wanted to stop the conversation, and I'm going to say it right now, Missy. I don't know. I can't even explain it. I can't articulate what you're dealing with. But I do want to say that, you know, if you're still there, you know, I love you. Christ loves you. And we need to assert and affirm that love one toward another if we're going to break this spirit of rejection, you know, because it's causing great calamity. You know, by this shall they know that you are my disciples, by the love you have one toward another. And that will cast out so much rejection and so much pain and so much depression and so much hurt. It will cause us to really confess our sins and to be set free. But because we created a bubble of prideful protection, you know, God helps those who help themselves. And I'm going to try to be strong in front of you guys and prove my faith, you know, so that you guys don't think I'm weak or I'm going to get lost in the end, you know. I'm going to puff my chest out. You know, I'm going to put on a facade. I'm going to put on that other face. You know, and that's what I'm going to give to you. But I'm not going to show you how much pain and how much sin troubles me when I'm by myself. And that's because of rejection. I'm telling you about myself. But, yeah, I could say a lot more, but yeah, Missy, the Lord loves you mightily.
Amen.
Mightily. I feel just like you do. I do. And I'm going to say that I love you.
Let me try.
I don't know how to show all the depths of what love is, but I'm going to say it anyways. Because we all need it. We all need to start affirming love one toward another. Rejection is strong. Chief focus is to destroy genuine love between one another. Cain killed his brother Abel because Cain felt what? What did Cain feel? Reject. You know? Instead of him obeying the Lord, he allowed the spirit of this rebellion and this rejection to become manifest. And he slew his brother Abel. Will we slay one another? How long are we going to harvest rejection because of pride? I'm going to tell you what's going to happen. We're going to slay one another. And none of us is going to be found worthy in the end. Why? If you're going to reject, you're going to reject yourself. You're going to reject genuine love toward your brother. If you're going to reject genuine love toward your brother, you're rejecting love from God. And if you're rejecting love of God, you're rejecting God. That's how it works. It starts from the bottom and it trickles up to the top. That's how rejection works. Until they can cut you off from God. Spiritual suicide. You know, it works at your root. That's how it works. You know, Jesus didn't reject the tree. He said, you know, let me dung about it. You know, let me, you know, put fresh soil around it. Let me dung about it. Let me, you know, put fresh and it bring forth fruit. Good. But if it doesn't, let's cut it down. And right now, Jesus Christ is digging and setting the dung around our roots. I only wanted to confess my fault. I was not expecting to say anything else. But I thank God. I thank God for you guys, you know. I don't know how to thank God, you know, with a great deepness of love. But we got to be thankful for everything, even if you don't feel it. I mean, we confess everything else. Like my hair. I don't like my skin. You know, I'm too fat. You know, I think I'm ugly. You know, I don't feel good unless I got this clothes on. We got everything else to say. Every day we say it. Every day we say it. Every day we reaffirm everything that we hate about life. And then once a week, oh, praise Jesus. Really? You know, I'm just saying, I'm not picking on anybody, but I'm saying we affirm so much hate. I hate this traffic. I can't stand going to work. I hate this. I hate constant. That's the spirit of rejection. Then when you finally get to work and you want to talk to somebody about Jesus Christ. God, why am I being fruitful? Why aren't you bringing people out the woodworks to hear the gospel? You know, because you don't have love within yourself. You know, love your neighbor as yourself. But if you got rejection in yourself, you're going to reject your neighbor. I should talk to him about Jesus, but then you put it away because of fear of rejection. Why? Because you got rejection in yourself. Fear of embarrassment. But you create that little bubble of pride. But I'm a Christian. and God loves me. Wow. You can write a whole book on this rejection. Wow. Right, that's all I got to say. I'll let whoever wants to add to it, add to it. I'll keep going if I don't shut up.
Hello. Thanks, Willie. Love you too, brother.
I'd like to read a scripture, if it's possible.
Go ahead. You're unmuted.
Yeah. Can you read, sir?
Yes.
Oh, go ahead.
This really, when I found out about this scripture, it really helped me in different ways. And I'm believing that it'll encourage some that when you battle with that rejection, because I've battled with it myself. In fact, when I was in my mother's womb, my mom had 3 children already, and they didn't want me before, and I was number 4. So right off the bat, before I came out, it was kind of like they didn't want any more. They said I was a mistake, but not according to these scriptures. Psalm 139. Can you hear me?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Oh, Lord, you have searched me and known me. You know when I sit down and when I rise up. You understand my thought from afar. You scrutinize my path and my lying down and are intimately acquainted with all my ways. Even before there is a word on my tongue, behold, O Lord, you know it all. You have enclosed me behind and before and laid your hand upon me. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me. It is too high. I cannot attain to it. Where can I go from your spirit, or where can I flee from your presence? If I ascend to heaven, you are there. If I make my bed in Sheol, behold, you are there. If I take the wings of the dawn, if I dwell on the remotest parts of the sea, even there your hand will lead me, and your right hand will lay hold of me. If I say, surely the darkness will overwhelm me, and the light around me will be night. Even the darkness is not dark to you, and the night is as bright as the day. Darkness and light are alike to you. For you formed my inward parts. You wove me in my mother's womb. I will give thanks to you, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Wonderful are your works, and my soul knows it very well. My frame was not hidden from you when I was made in secret and skillfully wrought in the depths of the earth. Your eyes have seen my unformed substance, and in your book were all written the days that were ordained for me, when as yet there was not one of them. How precious also are your thoughts to me, O God. How vast is the sum of them. If I should count them, they would outnumber the sand. When I awake, I am still with you. That's as far as I was going to go. But, you know, when sometimes when I feel like, Lord, why, you know, why am I here? Or, you know, when I've had some down times, if I know that he's, you know, he brought me here. Even the times when I've had that, dealt with the rejection and stuff in the past, I look back at that and I think, Lord, that was your protection. Even though it seems like it's strange that it would be a protection, but it kept me out of trouble. And I was looking for love in all the wrong places. And yet the love that I really needed was the love of Christ, but it brought me to him. So I can say thank you, Father, for allowing me to have that rejection, because it brought me to him. You know, it didn't keep me in the world. It brought me to him because I was seeking for his, for the true love, which is Christ, you know. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Sue. That's good. Go ahead, Pat.
I was thinking of exactly that scripture when it was that a verse that said, I am fearfully and wonderfully made. And the Lord has been showing me that as of late, and has brought it back to that scripture in 2 Corinthians 5:17, where he said, wherefore, if any man is in Christ, he's a new creature or a new creation, or the word means new formation. All old things are passed away. Behold, they are become new. And then it talks about God reconciling us through to himself through Christ, etc. But that the fact that once we have trusted Christ, something absolutely brand new, a new creation has taken place. He's formed something new that has never been on the planet before, and he formed it in you when you believed in him. And that fearfully and wonderfully made aspect of that new creation in there is this new thing where Jesus, when Jesus talked to Martha and he said, he that believes in me, he said, I am the resurrection. He that believes in me, though he be dead, yet shall he live. This new creation that God formed in us who have believed in him is that ability to live in the presence of this aspect of us dying and living all at the same time. And that new creation that is formed there. Actually, I wasn't meaning to specifically talk about that, but that verse, I just thought it was interesting that Judy and Sue brought that up, because it was that very scripture that the Lord was showing me, that we are wonderfully, fearfully made before him, and that he hasn't for one moment, he hasn't made a mistake. He knows exactly everything in our lives that we are failing at, and he knows everything that we were born to fail at, so that he can bring forth out Christ in us. It takes that Christ in us, that new formation of his life within us coming out and expressing his life in his glory, that in revealing it in overcoming and putting to death that very thing that has kept us bound all these years. And I just have to praise him. He is our author and finisher, our author and completer of our faith. He absolutely knows what he's doing. And so I just praise him for even the negative stuff that is in my life that I'm trying and struggling over. I thank him that he is able to place in me that which is necessary to overcome, even as he overcomes and sat down with him in his throne. Thank you, Jesus.
Amen. Amen. Lord, Lord, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Amen. Anybody else? What do you think, Ann? Go ahead, Pat.
What I was actually going to say is that the Lord gave me an example, a picture, I guess you might say, when I was going through a bout of depression and rejection and whatever years ago. And he gave me, and it has to do with, ye have been bought with a price, the precious blood of Jesus Christ. And he redeemed us out of this world of darkness into the kingdom of his son. And he gave me, I envisioned this conversation in heaven, knowing that mankind fell, and mankind could only be redeemed by a perfect sacrifice. And the conversation was between the Father and Jesus, Jesus said, "Now I will go, I will endure the cross, I will be the sacrifice." And the Father said, no, you stay, I will go. I will, from kind of that perspective, the Lord gave me an example of that we are purchased with a price, and the price of everything, the value of anything, is based upon what the purchaser will purchase it for. And it's the example is widespread in the world. You can, people buy pieces of paper that are worth absolutely intrinsically worth nothing, but it's the value that somebody wrote on them and wrote a song on that piece of paper. It's worth 50, $5 million or whatever. It's the value is determined by what someone will pay for it. And we all know that Jesus paid, he gave his life for us. And that payment obviously is inexpressible and unmatchable and it would be hard to consider that. But think about what the Father had to give up. Because, and if you use the example in the world, how many times have you heard about people, fathers running out, pushing their child out of the way of the onrushing vehicle and getting killed, or diving in, their child is drowning, diving in and saving their child and perished in the water in the process. At that moment of time, that person gave their life, placed more value upon the person that they were saving than they did their own life. And if you can think about that perspective of what the Father gave up in order to allow his Son to go to the cross for us, it in no way demeans the sacrifice and what Jesus gave to purchase us out of this kingdom of darkness. But I have to think of the Lord, of the Father, who had to be willing to allow his Son to do that. And I guess I kind of feel that in the sense that my son passed away in 2002. And I remember thinking, if I could just take what he has and replace myself with him, I'd do it in a heartbeat. And I think of what the Father's love for us, that he allowed his Son to be that sacrifice that we needed, that was necessary to redeem us. And if we can, it's hard to think of it, but if we can think of how much the Father values us, that he would accomplish that, he would do that for us. And it gave me a little bit different perspective at the time. I think I was going through a time of, obviously, of rejection and self condemnation and everything else. And I just needed a perspective from God's view of me, of my situation, that it just helped me at the time. So I just felt the need to share it. Amen.
Well, Pat, I saw how hard it was for you to relate that. But I'm saying that is a powerful message, And I thank you for it. Very powerful. It taught me something, too. Yeah, I've never lost a child. Praise God. And I hope I never do. But I'm like you. I'd give my life for it. But anyway, it's, it gives us a perspective of how the Father gave his Son. And it's a different way of looking at it, and it's really an awesome, awesome testimony. Thank you so much. All right. Eleazar, go ahead, brother.
I'm sorry. I'm about to go. I want you to have a good night to you all. I really like your stories. The stories like the rejection. So I'll talk about it on Thursday.
Okay. Well, so, let's see what God does. We'll see what God does. God orchestrated this whole thing, and it's awesome. Thank you, Jesus. All right, Eleazar, you have a good evening, son.
You too.
All right, God bless you. We love you.
Love you all.
Okay. Andrew, before we run out of time, I would like to get your perspective on all of this. What do you think?
You know, I, if you go to the store and you buy something, you redeem it and it's got value to it. Your value is what if you were redeemed with the lifeblood of Jesus Christ. And that has to really uplift you to the position where God the Father thinks of you. And that redemption and that value that you are. You know, as children, I remember in the Church of God, my daughter singing the "We Are Gems and Here to Save or Serve in the Lord in Every Way." The Lord really values us very highly. As high as his Son, because that's what you were redeemed with. That's the life that you were redeemed with. So that's your worth. And no, parents always try to teach us our self-worth, but here we have the heavenly God the Father to teach you on what your worth is. And how you should receive it and accept it. You know, repentance, yes, is needed, but he gives mercy and truth for that. And this is the grace that he gives to you on a daily basis, all the time. And sometimes we're caught up in something else or thinking about something else and we forget what we are. I don't know why that happens, but you know, it's our worth, you know, and we need to look at that and a lot, you know, we need to meditate on that. And as for why there's so much rejection, you know, if you go back in your history, you know, pretty much almost everybody family went through those wars, you know, the Second World War, the First World War. There's a lot of stuff your parents or grandparents must have went through. And it really shows the fall of mankind there. And that was passed on. But we have a new heritage in Christ, a new life. And if there's not going to be anyone who encourages you, then let the Lord encourage you with his word. And you are that word. And you are part of Christ. Christ lives in you. You know his word. Sometimes you go, well, Lord, how am I going to be reminded of this when I need it the most? Well, he's going to be there. And even if you fail, he's going to be there. And you just got to praise God. Praise God. And it's something we all have to work at to know that what we're actually working at is something that God laid out for us to do. Because we have to rest in that work that God's prepared for us to overcome, or whatever it is, to rejoice when you're in a high, and to give thanks when you're even in the low parts. Nobody wants to be in the low parts, but without them, we're not going to know what we're supposed to know, what we're supposed to receive as part of us, as part of our new life. Anyway, I really enjoyed listening to this today. I'm a divorced person, and you get these things that jump on you, and you're still trying to deal with it, figure it out. But you always have to come back to that, your value to the Father, and he's not going to let you down. You know, he guards the deposits in you, like the Christ deposit in you. And we have to guard our deposit too. But if he's sovereign over all things, who's really guarding your deposit? But God himself. Glory to God. That's why we say glory to God. All glory to God. All glory to God. Thank you, Jesus.
Amen. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. Anybody want to pray? Father, in the name of Jesus, we are so grateful for what you have done for each one of us, Lord. You've laid out a path for us to follow. You've given us examples all along the way. Father, we just praise you for the things that you're doing in our life. Sometimes it doesn't look like it's good, but we praise you because we know it's going to work together for our good. And we thank you for it, Lord. We thank you, Lord, that sometimes we don't understand why these things are happening around us. Why this? Why that? How come this? Or how come that? But, Lord, if we just get our eyes focused on you and off of self, because self, when you're looking at self, that's pride. You don't like pride. That's what Satan fell for. So we just keep our eyes on you and we say, thank you, Lord. Just like Job did. Thank you, Father, for bringing us all along in this wonderful trip that you've got us on and teaching us the way all during this trip that we have going up Mount Zion. You know, sometimes we slip and we fall a little bit here. We might climb a little bit today and then fall a little bit tomorrow. But, Lord, we know that you're there and that your love endures forever, that you're going to love us. It don't make any difference. You're going to pick us up. You're going to encourage us like Willie was talking about. You're going to encourage us all along the way. Come on now, get on up. Get on back over here, confess, and let's go. I'm going to help you up that mountain. And, Lord, we thank you for what you're doing is
I think this is an amazing time that we're in, Father. It's an amazing group of people that you have brought together here just on this outreach, Lord. A group of people that has insight into the spiritual realm that I didn't think was possible just a few short years ago. And Father, I praise you for that. I thank you for it, Lord. Because as we talk to one another, we all learn because of the things that you've given us in that area or this area or whatever. Lord, I just praise you and I thank you for it. In the name of Jesus, I ask, Lord, that you continue to allow the Holy Spirit to lead us through this walk. I thank you, Lord, that you're doing that. And make us sensitive enough to understand what your Holy Spirit is telling us. Very sensitive to the Spirit, Lord. And the way we do that, Lord, is getting rid of this old flesh. Quit asking why, how, or anything like that. Just accepting it and doing what your word says, that we are children of God. We are sons and daughters of God. We have inheritance in the kingdom. And Lord, we get to walk just like you walked on this earth because your word says it. And all we have to do is have faith and act on that faith is all. By confessing with our mouth most of the time. And Father, I just praise you and glorify you and thank you for the teaching that was done tonight just on this one subject of rejection. And what a subject it is. I didn't know the depths and the numbers of people that suffer from this, Lord. But I understand it a lot more now. These last few years and tonight, I understand a little more. And Father, I praise you and I thank you for all these wonderful people that don't mind giving their time and don't mind humbling themselves to confess some things to teach. That's what it's doing, Lord. It's teaching us. And I thank you for it, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. All right. Yeah, Missy, go ahead.
Can you hear me?
I tried to get this in before you started praying, but I was just sitting here thinking how it says in John 3:16, for God so loved the world, that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. But and I was thinking back, also John 17, where the Lord says, I don't pray for the world, but I pray for those who you've given me, And God sees us the end from the beginning. He's chosen us before the foundation of the world to be vessels of honor or vessels of dishonor. And we know that those vessels of dishonor are ones that the Lord God uses to crucify us. But he didn't die for everybody. He did not die for the whole world. Those that are his in the world, but not, he didn't die for everybody. He didn't die for the vessels of dishonor. He only died for us, those who he already chose, those who he already accepted. He accepted. He didn't reject. I mean, he accepts us. He gave his son to die for those who he chose. He already determined before the foundation of the world who was going to be his and who wasn't going to be his. And I was just really thinking about that in the whole aspect of rejection. And repent and believe. Those who are his are really going to repent and believe and endure. He that endures to the end, the same shall be saved. Those are the ones that have proven that they are chosen. I sometimes this whole predestination thing, you know, choosing us before the foundation of the world kind of makes my head hurt, you know. not really, but you get my drift. But it just really makes you realize, you know, how much he does love us. He loves us because he sees Jesus in us. It's Jesus that he accepts. He sees it's the finished product, Jesus, that he has died for, to redeem us out of the hands of the enemy, to wash us up, clean us from our sin, and make us into Jesus. Many sons. And that really certainly helps with the whole aspect of rejection. If he's accepted us and hasn't rejected us, how can we be unforgiving and reject anybody else and not receive his acceptance, that he's accepted us? I hope I've said all that, and I hope that was all scripturally balanced, but that's just what I felt like the Lord was showing me.
Amen. Okay. Well, we're out of time. Praise God. We can pick this up again Thursday night if you'd like, and if anybody has anything they'd like to add Thursday night, that'd be great. Does anybody need prayer right now before we get out of here? We got enough time for that. Anybody needs prayer? I want to thank Willie and Pat and Andrew and Joe and everybody in here tonight for your contribution. Some of you were praying, I noticed, and some of you were giving the testimonies, and it's just awesome. It's just awesome. Thank you so much, and God bless, and we'll see everybody Thursday night, Lord willing. Amen.